This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cavaliers, winners last night. Oh, but at what cost? Kevin Love, torn ligament in the left thumb. They say he's going to be okay to play. But LeBron, 46 points last night. It's the most anyone has ever scored against the Indiana Pacers. Anthony Lima, go!
I said yesterday that if LeBron James just came out and was LeBron James again, that it didn't matter what the lineups were, it didn't matter what the rotations were, the Cavs were going to win. I proved to be prophetic.
Wow.
However,
hung him out there.
However, boy, was that a lot more difficult than it should have been. When your star has one of the all-time performances, and that was in the annals of LeBron James, one of the all-time performances, you got to be able to be in cruise control at some point. They dodged a big-time bullet yesterday. Oladipo missed a wide-open three, complete botched assignment from Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith, looking like they've never seen a pick-and-roll before. Cavs very fortunate to be going back to Indy 1-1 because Indiana's been a better team through the first two games of this series.
Woo! I was going to say, man, are you feeling better?
No,
is it feeling ominous?
Not feeling good at all.
And already you just answered the question.
How could anybody feel good after what they've seen through two games?
I don't know. I'm happy they won. Obviously, I'm happy they won. I'm fine that they won. It's great that they won. That's great. LeBron, when he had 46 points in 40 minutes, so at least he had to get a little bit of time off. A little bit of time. I know he played, 44?
Yeah, 44 in the first game, 40 in this one.
So he had a little bit of time off. Kevin's going to be a big question because now we have no idea what he's going to do or be able to do for game three because of his thumb. So you had Kevin Love get hurt with the thumb yesterday, last night, which... you had a feeling something bad was going to happen because he had come up a little bit limp in the second quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, things go straight to hell with Kevin Love getting hurt. He got hurt around the 3:43 mark and then was out for the remainder of the game, 3:43 left to go. Larry Nance had come in for him. Kyle Korver played about as hard as anybody I've ever seen play and tried to be the number two for LeBron. But the concerning thing for me is that going into game three, there is no clear number two right now. Kevin had a rough game. I thought he did what he could, but was still rough. He started to heat up a little bit in the fourth quarter when LeBron was off the floor at the very beginning. He hit a couple of shots and was very, very good, one of those being a three. But you're still looking for a second threat because this bench yesterday, if you're looking for scores, Jeff Green was basically gone, 13 minutes and was basically missing. Jose Calderon...
is Jose Calderon.
Yeah. I mean, basically, that's true. Rodney Hood forgot how to play in the second half. So you're looking for guys that are going to be able to help you out. And so I'll take a win. Obviously, I'll take a win. I'm not going to try to sit here and just be negative and too nasty about things because they won and they started off fantastic. And LeBron, there is nothing better and there is nothing more dominant in professional sport than angry LeBron. Than a motivated, angry LeBron, what he can do for a team, against a team, at any given moment, there is nothing better than LeBron James at his zenith. But there are very large concerns with this team moving forward because you have to find somebody other than him to step up. It means bad things possibly for this series, and it means possibly bad things for even LeBron's future, something I'll bring up later on.
It begs the question... did they just waste game one because LeBron decided he was going to do this weird feeling out thing? I mean, if LeBron plays like that in game one, are they trailing by 23 points in the second quarter in game one?
No, but...
I mean, they threw away game one because LeBron didn't feel like he needed to be engaged. Then game two, LeBron goes to the complete polar opposite end where he says, look, I'm the best player on the planet. We're not going to talk about Victor Oladipo being on my level ever again. He comes out, destroys the Pacers. I mean, you would have thought that would have destroyed the Pacers' will. It didn't. Give credit to the Pacers that, I mean, if that happened the other way, If somebody put 40, hung 40, what was it for LeBron?
46.
46 on the Cavs, we would have lost.
The most ever, by the way, real quick, Allen Iverson at 45.
Yeah, the Cavs do not recover from that type of adversity. But give the Pacers credit. That's why I'm nervous. The Pacers had every reason to go away, to leave that game, to put up the white flag and say it's over. But the Pacers hung in there, showed resolve, and a bunch of players who our fans can't name. Our fans do not know any of the players on the Indiana Pacers. They've learned Victor Oladipo's name. They probably don't even know him that well. And they're probably, you got to be thinking to yourself, how in the hell are the Cavs going to put away this team unless LeBron does 40 every night?
Well, what I'm most concerned about, it wasn't even just that. You know, and Indiana's playing as tough as they possibly can. I'll give them their credit. I respect the team well enough. I don't, you know, the media thing is ugly and silly, but I get annoyed by their media, and that's for a different conversation.
Why? What's wrong with
it's
the media?
It's just for a different conversation.
Well, why'd you bring it up?
I just wanted to say I get annoyed by some of the guys over there, okay? With the exception of Danny Schultz, I get annoyed by some of those guys.
Who do you get annoyed by?
I get annoyed by a couple of radio show hosts who like to take shots at the city and get people on Twitter and think that that's a good thing.
Would you like to name them?
Yeah, Kent Sterling is one of them.
I don't know who that is.
Exactly. That's the entire point of it. That's why I probably should have just shut up and moved on and wish you didn't dwell on it.
Do you listen to a lot of indie radio?
Anyway, yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you had enough hours in the day to listen to Indiana radio.
I like to listen to a lot of different stories. Anyway, can I move on, please?
I don't know if you can.
Can I move on?
This seems to be bothering you.
No, I'm not. I'm just. I wish I wouldn't have said it, to be frank. So
I want you to tell me your favorite Indiana radio lineup. Go. Tell me who should be in drive time.
Schultz is great. I love Schultz.
I've been on Schultz's show. I love Dockage.
I told you Sterling wasn't that great. Dan Dockage, I think, calls it fair as what you can find.
Well, he thought they got jobbed last night by the officials.
Well, of course. Who didn't think that anybody got jobbed last night by the officials? Anyway, can we go on now?
Go ahead. Move on.
Thank you.
Who should be in? Who should be the overnight host?
Damn, I hate you sometimes.
Like over Indianapolis Reddit.
Moving on.
I would like to know your breakdown. Middays.
Moving on. I can't even remember what I was going to say now. I think that when you're Indiana, you mentioned LeBron. I think if you're Indiana, you just go, LeBron's going to get his. We got to focus on everybody else. Because if you have Victor Oladipo and Darren Collison playing well enough, and Darren Collison was pretty good last night, and Oladipo can play well, okay, we got two guys there we know we can rely on. Mm-hmm. Lance will be Lance. If we can get some rim protection, or if we can get some rebounds, which was a major concern again yesterday, we might be able to beat him. LeBron's going to get his, and we're going to just have to deal with LeBron. But if we can take everybody else away and put everything on LeBron, we can win in the long term. That's the way that you would have to be thinking if you're the Indiana Pacers here, Anthony. So I'm not as concerned with that feeling of, oh my God, LeBron just beat the brakes off him in the first few minutes and they didn't go away. I would feel that would be your game plan. That, yeah, LeBron is going to come out. He's going to be hotter than hell. That's why Victor Oladipo kept clapping after every single one. I know he was frustrated because he had two quick fouls on him, but they were trying to keep it up. They knew he was going to come out and play exceedingly well, and he did. He came out really, really well. But it's everybody else. I need more, and now I don't know what I'm going to get out of Kevin Love because of the injury, but I needed more out of Kevin Love. Kyle Korver stepped up as much as he possibly could, but I cannot look at Kyle Korver as the second option for this basketball team. Somebody somewhere, and I don't know who, is going to have to raise their game. And whoever you can find there, please, because it cannot be LeBron scoring almost half your points in a basketball game to win every single game in the series.
There's no way. There's no way at his age you can rely on that. There's no way against better teams. Remember, this Indiana team is a team that didn't even win 50 games. They are not some stalwart. It was not some team we were supposed to be afraid about going to the series, but through two games, they look like they are just as good, if not better than you. I think if you didn't know anything about the Cavs, if this was your first two games you've seen in the NBA ever, you would say the Pacers are the better team through the first two games.
Yes.
I mean, those games have been played in Cleveland. Again, I think the Cavs have gotten the calls through the first two games.
I believe that too.
There's no way, if you didn't know anything, you would watch that game or watch those two teams and think otherwise. With that said, you still have LeBron on your side. If I were a betting man, I'd say the Cavs are going to win this series, but I'd be stunned, Ken. I'd be stunned if this doesn't go at least six games now. I think the Indiana Pacers are going to win a game at home. And so that, of course, would take it to six games. And if they win two games, then obviously it goes seven, and that's not what anybody wants. in this series going seven. As far as the rest of the supporting cast, you know, I showed up on Bull and Fox yesterday right before the show, and I reiterated what I've been saying, which is people are making such a big deal about the lineups, and Ty Lue's just trying to dial stuff up.
I thought yesterday could have been, when they announced the lineup real quick, I thought it could have been make or break for Ty Lue. If they'd have lost that game yesterday, people would have been coming after Ty Lue like crazy. Now, they started out really, really well. Part of that, again, is LeBron. But when you made those...
No, not part of it. 100% of that was LeBron.
Because if you put the first game out there where the lineup just didn't make sense, and then you get to the second game where obviously you're going to put shooters out there instead of the athleticism, and it really, really worked with LeBron... If you would have came out and not had won that game, and not had won the game, but at least had come out as dominant as you were because of what, 19-1 at one point, I believe?
Yeah.
So
24-6.
Yeah. If you would have not been as dominant, if they would have kept pace with you at the very beginning there and end up either sticking with it or won that game, that's a different conversation people are going to look at with Ty Lue.
And what I'm here to tell you is I think all that conversation is foolish, regardless. I do not think the rotations matter for this team right now against the Indiana Pacers. They shouldn't. If you are telling me there is a strategy and a certain set of rotations that should matter when you have LeBron James and Kevin Love and the other team's best players, Victor Oladipo, and their second best player is who? Who's your second best player? You said maybe Darren Collison.
Darren Collison.
Maybe Lance Stephenson. Lance Stephenson shouldn't even be in the league anymore.
Yeah.
Miles Turner, who gets stripped by Kyle Korver. Like, that team is not loaded. It's not like they have a bunch of stars. I will reiterate again, the rotations to me, people are going to, that's what fans do to bitch when the team loses. Oh, they played the wrong guys. The reality is you don't have the guys.
Well,
you don't, the Cavs do not have the horses
right now. I don't know if
they
have the guys. You could at least put them out there, guys who at least know how to play with each other. That might have helped.
But
that might have helped a little
they
bit.
They haven't all year. This team, and this is an excuse, but I also think it's a justification, this team overhauled their team like no other team has ever been overhauled at the trade deadline. Then it's like, hey, you guys have 35 games. Get it together. Oh, then Kevin Love goes down with an injury. Oh, then George Hill goes down with an injury. You have Kyle Korver's brother who tragically passes away. I mean, go through the entire litany of the guys on this roster, and they have not played together. So your guys are telling me that Ty Lue is supposed to be Miss Cleo and say, those are the five guys that needed to be on the floor, and these are the bench guys, and these are the units that play together. This team has not had guys play together the entire year. Do I think Ty Lue is some mastermind? Do I think he's Greg Popovich? Do I think he is Brad Stevens? No. However, I think fans are looking, they're clawing, they're trying to find whatever reason they can for why this team is not that good, and I will offer you up one easy solution.
They don't have the players.
They don't have the super. They don't have the third superstar, and that, as I said the day after the trade deadline, is going to muddle their lineups for the rest of the year.
216-578-0092. We'll get back to that coming up in a moment. That was a good point. You heard LeBron in the postgame, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, there was right at the end of the postgame, and this was really sad. Greg Popovich's wife, Erin, passed away. Greg Popovich, the head coach of the San Antonio Spurs, she passed away last night as the games were going on, is when that news broke. Now, we're going to play this. This is Ali LaForce on TNT, and she had asked LeBron, or I don't even know if it was a question, kind of it seemed like it broke it to her, right at the end of the interview on TNT in the postgame. So LeBron's standing on the floor. Ali LaForce is talking to him, as they do after all these games, and Ali LaForce mentions Erin Popovich, who had passed away earlier that night.
We got the really devastating news. The Spurs announced that Erin, Coach Popovich's wife, officially passed away. I know you're close with Pop. Any words or thoughts you'd like to share with him?
Fans, we hope you enjoyed your evening here last tonight. We look forward to seeing you on Friday for the Watch Party.
I'm a huge Pop fan. I love Pop. That's such a tragedy, and you know, my best wishes goes out to Pop and his family. I know that's devastating news, and it's just a lot. I mean, the NBA family, we all stick together. I know we compete every night, but something like this happens, it puts everything in perspective. So, you know, I send my well wishes. And my prayers up to the heavens above. I know the man above never makes a mistake, even when you sometimes have to ask why. But that's just terrible news. And best of luck to Pop, man, and everybody in San Antonio, the whole Spurs family. That's all I can say, Ali.
LeBron, thank you so much for your time.
Oh. Now, it seemed like he was surprised by this.
That is tough to listen to. I don't know why.
Well, it's tough to watch.
I don't know why that gets brought up. And it's not obviously that Ali LaForce didn't come up with that out of nowhere.
Well, I think
obviously
she's being told
that question.
Yes.
She's maybe even Craig Sager's of the world were told to ask certain questions.
Well,
even the Bonnie Bernstein's of the world, Lisa Salter. Listen, that has no place. There's no place for that. That's bad TV. Bad idea. Whoever thought that made sense. I feel bad for Ali because she's going to be thrust into this. And I know LeBron has come out and said that he was prepped. He wasn't. You could tell. His reaction, you could tell. He was not prepped
for
that.
Okay, well, this is real quick. Let's get to his response here. This is his uninterrupted video explaining the situation.
You know, on my way home from our Game 2 victory, and I'm not on social media right now, but I was made aware through some friends, through text, that a question was asked to me this game, and a lot of people feel like I was blindsided. That is absolutely false. Ali LaForce told me that she was going to ask me the question and if it was okay. And once I started talking about it, once we were on air, actually my emotions just kind of took over. And that was just my emotions coming straight from my heart about the late Aaron, you know, Popovich. It's unfortunate, you know, it's a tragic loss. My thoughts, my prayers, once again, goes out to the Popovich family, to Greg, to the Spurs family, to, you know, the whole Spurs fan base. And also, guys, please get off Ali LaForce's back, because she followed the proper protocol and she warned me. So get off her back, man. She's very professional, and she does a great job at her work. So, like I said, thoughts and prayers to the heavens above. We all know the man above never makes mistakes, even when we question it. You know, it's a sad, tragic time right now for the NBA family, and we're all praying and hoping for the best. So that's all I got to say, man.
That's LeBron's uninterrupted. I feel bad for one. LeBron is put in that situation. The other thing is that I don't think that. And you could see a little bit of the camera showing as they like panned away. You could see them talking for a moment right before they go on. Now, that is usual, and it's for a quick moment. Now it's loud. He probably did hear something with her, but I still feel bad for her because I don't know, Lima. You've been in that situation. Somebody is in her ear. You gotta ask him. Because Kevin Durant was asked with the camera on him even earlier.
I know Jeff's standing here ready for the update. I just thought that there was no time and place. You got Cleveland Rocks blaring in the background, and you're gonna break tragic news to your audience. It makes no sense to me. That was really bad TV.
216-578-0092. We'll get to this and again in about last night. And also, if you need LeBron to play like that, it's not good for the series, and it's really not good for his future.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.